Work product. So we got attorney-client privilege. This privilege, relatively absolute. If I can prove that privilege, there is no hardship exception to it. The exceptions to it are things like crime and fraud and waiver. There's not like, I really, really need to get to your attorney-client communications. I don't care. You're never going to get them. Work product's different. Work product in some ways much broader, in other ways much narrower, and all the way around more susceptible to discovery. Broadly speaking, work product, it's your mental impressions and material that you're preparing in anticipation of litigation. And this is one of the key distinctions between work product and attorney-client communication. If there's no litigation on the horizon, there is no work product, period. And I think lawyers get very used to, yeah, my thoughts and nope. If you're getting ready for a lawsuit, your thoughts and stuff are super special and important. But if you're just sitting around, there's no applicable privilege for that unless you're rendering service to a client. And that will catch a lot of, this is how lawyers end up mending up witnesses, as they started getting involved in things. There was no pending litigation. The people they're talking to or hearing are not their clients. This conversation is not privileged. Either way, you're just a witness to what happened. You're just a witness. And you can be deposed just like anybody else. Finally, communication made in anticipation of litigation or for trial between a party and the party's representatives or among a party's representatives. Okay, so we're talking about trial or this anticipated litigation, also privileged. It excludes certain things, and there's a very long list in the rules. I would say the most notable of them is witness statements. I actually remember when they added witness statements to the things excluded from work product, and everyone freaking out that if you took a witness statement during an interview, that was now fully discoverable, and it is. Like, if it is an adopted statement, like you have them look at your notes and say, sign this, that is now a witness statement. You keeping your notes and your own thoughts and your opinions and kind of preparing that, what you're thinking about this witness, that's work product. But you have that person adopt those notes, it's now a witness statement, you're going to turn it over as an initial disclosure. All right. Core work product, the stuff in your head, the attorney mental preparation, opinions, conclusions, legal theories, never discoverable. That's core. So core work product always protected. On the other hand, absolutely all other work product, everything else out there, discoverable if the person looking for it has a substantial need and they can't get the substantial equivalent without undue burden. I'm not going to delve. This is where I pulled back because I realized I was starting to analyze when would this be present in an employment law case and the paper was getting too big as it was, so I stopped. You can picture, though, the internal investigation by counsel of a complaint of harassment that is now the subject of litigation. You're probably going to try to assert some attorney-client privileges if you did this the right way and tried to set that up as a privileged communication between you and the employees that you were talking to as the defense lawyer. From a work product standpoint, you're probably not going to get to hold on to it unless there really was litigation anticipated, which maybe there was. And even then, you got to be careful that it is your mental impressions and opinions if you want to keep it out of the substantial need showing. Everyone follow what I just said, because I said a lot of things there. Okay. So just know, these are the high-level privileges operating at state level. Federal is easier in a sense because they don't explain it. They kind of say it. I could not find like a good, juicy block quote defining attorney-client privilege or work product. Here's what I got. First off, this is Orchestrate HR, Northern District of Texas, 2014. One of the things that they point out is, hey, we always apply the federal rule to work product in federal court. It is never the state rule. Because work product is not a substantive thing. It's a creation. And so whereas attorney-client privilege may turn off state, for work product, we're going to look at federal common law pretty much every single time if we're in federal court having a discovery fight. Okay, makes sense. How does that work? Well, it's in 26B3. Pretty much the same thing. Everything that you prepare in anticipation of trial, all of it is discoverable upon a showing of substantial need and an inability to obtain substantial equivalent without undue hardship, provided you can't turn over the mental impressions, conclusions, et cetera. In other words, it follows a slightly different structure, ends up in the same place. Your thoughts about the case, always protected. Everything else may be discoverable upon a showing of substantial need, and I can't get it elsewhere without undue burden. Okay. Here's the high-level rule in Texas. I've got a deposition notice that has come across for me as an attorney that advised on a piece of a workplace investigation or whatever, but I'm not the advocate lawyer. I'm not the person handling the case. Say that the company brought me in to do the investigation, but they have other counsel handling the litigation. In that context, where I'm not the advocate, the default rule is going to be, I can't stop my deposition. If you file a motion to quash under the state rules and say, hey, hold on, everything he's going to talk about is just going to be privileged anyway, you're going to be met with a mountain of cases that say that doesn't work. The possibility that Boulette will assert privilege or his client will instruct him not to answer does not justify quashing his deposition in its entirety. We're going to wait until the questions are on the record. We're going to wait until they're posed to Boulette, and we're going to wait to see if he's instructed not to answer, and we're going to wait to see if he then refuses to answer. If he then refuses to answer, that question will be certified. You'll move to the next question, and when we're all done, you'll bring all the questions he wouldn't answer. You'll bring them back to court, and then we'll let you know if it's privileged. Seems incredibly inefficient, but it is, in fact, the default procedure that at least state courts are going to follow when it comes to you trying to depose a lawyer about anything.